Hello, this is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond. Are you up for it?
I'm Aida Tuma Sliman, member of Knesset, of the Israeli parliament, since 2015. Of course, I'm representing Hadash, and I'm saying of course because since I started to be a political activist, which is like in age 14, I joined Hadash, and later on when I became 21, I joined the Communist Party. Hadash is the only Jewish Arab political party in Israel. It's a coalition between the communists and the supporters and those who believe not in the whole communism, not in Marxism or Leninism, but people who believe on nine points that we agreed upon. It's including peace, reaching peace, or struggling for peace, ending the occupation, the Israeli occupation of the Palestinians, trying to reach a situation where a two-state solution is reached, to have Palestinian state alongside Israel on the borders of 1967. We believe that we should be struggling for the social rights of the workers and, of course, for gender equality. Anyway, it's 9 points that we agreed upon. We came to this situation where this crazy right-wing fanatic government led by Netanyahu again with his criminal. Actually, he is a criminal too. This criminal government of Smotrich, Ben-Gvir, Netanyahu. And we understood from the beginning, and we've been warning for a long time now, that there is a deep problem in the Israeli society that is not addressed by most of the political powers, which is the continuous occupation of the Palestinian people. In the last year, the Israeli society was very, very busy demonstrating, opposing the judicial overhaul, thinking that the worst thing is happening in Israel by changing the judicial system and trying to take over also the judicial system by the right wing. Of course, it is a serious matter. Of course, it is an issue that is damaging the system and the regime, let's say, in Israel, the political regime that is existing. But we have to keep in mind what we said from the beginning, that the democracy in Israel is not really existing, and that there is maybe part of or components of democratic regime that is existing, but mainly for the Jews and not for the Palestinian citizens of Israel. And of course, we are not mentioning here even the Palestinians who are under the control of Israel, but they are not citizens, they are under occupation. We, the Palestinians who remained in our lands in 1948 and grew from 150,000 people into 1,200,000 people, are citizens of the state of Israel. We suffered from discrimination all of our 75 years since the Nakba, since the establishment of the state of Israel. And by practice, we were always treated as a second degree citizens. And even by law, there were 18 laws in the law book in Israel that said very clearly that we are not equal. If it is in the access to the resources that are existing, like land, etc. But in 2018, the state of Israel decided to make it very clear that we are not included really in the cycle of citizenship. We stopped even talking about equal citizenship. We are not defined by the Jewish nation state law. We are not defined as citizens when the law, which is a basic law, part of the constitution to be in the future, it's a constitutional law, says very clearly when it is defined which kind of a state is this. This is the state of the Jewish people wherever they are. And oops, they forgot that they have 20% who are not Jews, 20% of the citizens of Israel. We are not mentioned at all in that law, even when they defined who are the citizens. So an American Jew who decided not to come and to live or to ask for citizenship in Israel, worth to this state and is included to this state of Israel more than I am, who I spent 59 years of my life as a citizen. This is establishing a new situation and a new era in Israel. This is the apartheid era. Clearly, cut clear, you are, how Smotrich said, you are more than welcome to stay if you obey the rules, and if you know that you will never be equal, and accept that in his great plan. Why I'm mentioning this? Because in my opinion, this government did not want only to change the judicial system. This government wanted to establish very clearly what is written in the first two words in the Jewish nation state law, the greater land of Israel. So what is greater land of Israel? Greater land of Israel, it is from the sea to the river. Of course, nobody decided yet if it is the Jordanian River or furthermore to the Iraq, but at least it is speaking about Israel. The greater land of Israel is exactly historical Palestine. It means that there is a belief that came into a constitutional law in Israel that all of that land, including the Palestinian occupied territories, is meant to be Israel. This is not a declaration, this is not a historical statement. For me, this is a political plan that is led by Netanyahu and his criminal government. And you can see it these days. And we warned that the question that should be raised when you are talking about the judicial overhaul is the occupation. Because this is the main goal of the judicial. Of course, nobody wanted to listen. Nobody wanted to raise the issue of occupation because they said to us that if we mention occupation, we will lose parts of the opposition to the judicial overall. Again, the Jewish consensus and unity was even by the liberals and the center, was much more important than including the Palestinian citizens. So actually, they were practicing the same policy that they agreed upon when they voted for the Jewish nation state law. This was the environment and the situation before the 7th of October. And boom, came 7th of October. October. The explosion of the occupation happened on the 7th of October. Those who didn't want to speak about occupation in a very, very hard and painful way had to look into the occupation, into the eyes of the occupation on the 7th of October. Everything that I said and whatever of oppression happened through the years do not legitimize what happened in my eyes in the 7th of October. Because what happened was, for me at least, what was horrific because it included civilians. And crimes were committed against children and women. And I said from 30, when I started to recover from the shock of what was, because in the first day on the 7th itself, it took us till maybe late evening to start to maybe realize that the huge event that was happening, the amount of suffering and loss. I believe that my own people, the Palestinian people, have the right to fight against occupation. And they decide how they fight. But I wish, because I believe that it's a justful struggle and a justful cause to end the occupation, I would like to see my people. I do not decide. I'm citizen of Israel. I'm Palestinian, I'm citizen of Israel. I'm a member of the Israeli parliament. I do not decide for the Palestinians how to resist. But I would love to see my own people fighting in a justful way also, without committing any crime, in my opinion. Because hurting a child, kidnapping a woman, this is not the way to earn support, as much as the cause is justful. And whatever horrific, and there were horrific crimes committed on the 7th of October, nothing of what happened justify what was going on in the last 46 days. Bombing Gaza, making more than 1,200,000 people become displaced and refugees and losing their houses. This morning I heard that more than 60% of the houses in north of Gaza are destroyed totally. More than 20,000 people are killed. And I think the numbers will climb up. This huge suffering, there is nothing that can be justified doing this, even what happened on the 7th of October. In my opinion, what happened brought a lot of anger, a lot of fears among the Jewish citizens of Israel. And this criminal government is using the pain and the anger and the fears and even escalating those feelings in order to justify the crimes that are committed these days in Gaza by the army, by the government, by orders from the governments and rules from the government, and in the West Bank. And the fact that this crazy fascist minister, Ben-Gvir, is distributing weapons as if he is distributing chocolate. You know, he comes to a city, put a table with guns and start distributing for anyone who applied for a weapon. People are getting weapons, civilians are getting weapons without being trained to use it, without real medical checkup, and psychological checkup if they are allowed to carry a weapon. And they are going in the public sphere in the cities with the guns with them. And imagine if you have in your mind that the Arab, the Palestinian, is the enemy, and you have a gun, and you are scared. I don't want to argue with the feelings, you know. They are scared. So what? It can be any minute that a murder is committed, like what happens in the West Bank. A murder is committed, and then when they ask the Jewish person who had the gun, why did you shoot him? He wanted to attack me. He was planning to kill me, whatsoever. We see how they are trying to bring the community into a kind of clash between Jews and Arabs. I live in a mixed city and I can feel it. Since the beginning of the war till today, 103 people are brought to court, Palestinian young women and men, under the claim of supporting the enemy or making a felony against the anti-terror law, which means accusations that might bring them into jail for years and years. And for what? Because maybe they published a post or a tweet. And more than 300 are also going under arrest, interrogations, etc. Many people were expelled from work for saying only like, but in Gaza also there are children. For that you can get into prison. For that, when I said it in the Knesset, another MK from the so-called kind of leftist central Yesh Atid, she shouted and said, I said, a child is a child is a child if he is from the south of the country or from Gaza itself. And she shouted, they went crazy. They said, don't compare between our children and their children. There is no symmetry in this situation. Gaza children brought it on themselves. I couldn't believe, in a moment, I couldn't believe that I'm hearing this. But this is exactly what most of those who are sitting in the Knesset really believe. We are not human. Palestinians are not human. It's not by chance that they called animals. When they are calling animals, they don't relate only to Hamas, because later on they will say all of them are involved. I saw a report in Channel 4, a British channel, that brought testimonies of the physicians in Al-Shifa Hospital saying that they are losing staff members, that they feel a smell of phosphor, that the hospital is bombed. I just took part of their testimonies and tweeted saying these are testimonies of physicians in Al-Shifa Hospital, and then wrote that here the army, the most moral army in the world, still insisting they do not hurt civilians and hospitals. And I clipped the report with the tweet. For saying that, I'm suspended 2 months from the meetings in the Knesset. I'm not allowed to be in the plenary or in the committees or to have the right to speaking up in these meetings. I only have the right to enter, vote, and go out of the plenary. Only for doing that, 1 week before that, the leadership of the Palestinian community in Israel, the High Follow-Up Committee, decided that we will not ask our people to come out because the police have forbidden all the demonstrations in our community. And the chief of the police said, anybody who will demonstrate solidarity with Gaza is more than welcome. I will take him in my hand, put him on a bus, and send him to Gaza. And we wanted to protect our community, but still to have a voice. We said only between 30 to 50 people, 40 people of the leadership, MKs, heads of parties, we will demonstrate against the war, and we will have only one slogan: stop the war. And of course, release the abducted. That morning, we were on our way to demonstrate in Nazareth. Mohammed Baraki, a former MK, head of the High Follow-Up Committee, was stopped on the highway by the police as if he is a big terrorist, getting him out of the car and arresting him because he intended to protest. Another five leaders from the community, part of them three former MKs, were also arrested from the place where we planned to protest. So the message is very clear. No matter what position you are in, if you are a current MK or a former MK or head of the... if you will be punished, you will be silenced, because it's a message to our community. If your leadership is paying such a price, imagine what will happen to you if you raise your voice. What scares me is that large part of the general public is becoming kind of informers. Doctors, Jewish doctors, are following the Facebook of their colleagues, Arab colleagues, and sending complaints about things that are written. Students, Jewish students, are watching the accounts and the social media of their colleagues, doing reports, sending to the university administration. And the university, when they get the complaints, they send it out to the police in order to investigate. If this is not fascism, what is fascism? So I believe that the general public in Israel have to understand that if they do not wake up immediately and understand that they are, their anger, their fears are used in order to create a new situation after the war, they will wake up in the day after and they will find a state, a country that they do not recognize. And the struggle now should be to release the abducted, but also to stop the war immediately. To stop the war, revenge will never bring anybody back. Nobody can, unless they are planning a genocide. Nobody can finish whole people. The people in Gaza are insisting to go back to their houses. We saw them yesterday. We saw them the day before. So evacuating Gaza will never happen unless, as I said, a genocide is planned. The people want to live, and they want to live in their homes. They are refugees from 1948, and they are refugees from 1967, and they will not become refugees again. And the way that 3 days ago, bringing back through an agreement some of the abducted Israelis and releasing Palestinian prisoners show again that there is no other way except negotiating, except peaceful, diplomatic solution. And it has to end with ending the occupation. The day after is designed today. We are not supposed to let Netanyahu and his criminal government design a horrible day after. We should be fighting in order to design a day that brings eventually, as I said, a diplomatic solution that will release the two people from this occupation. Because I think the Israelis are also under a kind of occupation. But it depends also on how the world is going to act. And Biden should understand that pampering Israel and this government is not the best way. There are interests for the United States in this region. And the best protector of these interests is Israel. But this cannot continue. They have to understand in the United States of America, first of all, the protest movement in the United States of America against this war might make Biden lose his position. And all the polls show that he is going to lose unless he do something else. And this is his chance. On the other hand, the region has proved again and again that without solving the Palestinian problem, there will be explosions always. Remember, before the 7th of October, they were about to sign an agreement with Arabia Saudi. Did that solve the problem? They can normalize with all the Arab regimes. Nothing will be solved without solving the Palestinian issue and ending the occupation. So if doing this, pushing for a solution to the Palestinian issue, might also secure Biden to be re-elected, he might start think about it and do something about it. But this has to happen with more pressure on Biden and the international community. This might give us a little bit of hope, but it won't happen by itself. We need to scream out. We need to work on that.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.